Hilchas Gzela Vaveda, the laws of stolen objects and lost objects. And today we will begin the 11th chapter. Up till now, in the first 10 chapters, we have studied about Gzela, about things which are stolen. And from now until the end of these halachas, we will be learning about Aveda, lost objects. This chapter contains 20 halachas and gives the general principles of lost objects. When and to whom and under what conditions one is required to return the lost object. Perek Achadosar, the 11th chapter, Halacha Aleph. Hashavas Avedal Yisrael Mitzvahs Esa. Returning a lost object to its Jewish owner is a positive commandment, one of the 613, as the Rambam listed at the beginning, his introduction to these halachas. Shenemar, it says in Dvarim Chav Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Hashav Teshivim, you shall certainly return it. So from here we learn that you shall return it. This is a commandment to return the lost object. If you saw a Jew's lost object, and you pretended not to see it, and left it there, you are transgressing a prohibition. You should not merely look upon your brother's donkey, and the pasuk concludes, "V'salamta mehem," and of all those things listed there that one pretends not to see, and you hide yourself from it. So therefore we see that this is a prohibition also, you are not allowed to hide yourself from the lost object. And also, bitl mitzvah esa, and you have also transgressed the prohibition. You have nullified the positive commandment, in addition to the prohibition. V'im eshiva, kiyam mitzvah esa. However, on the other hand, if you return it, then you do satisfy the positive commandment of hashavas aveda, returning the lost object. This first halacha was referring to a case where instead of picking up the lost object and returning it to the owner, one ignored it. What happens if one takes the object for oneself? Halacha base. If the one who sees it takes the object for himself and does not return it to the owner, if he just left it there, he would be transgressing the prohibition not to hide oneself from the lost object, and is also nullified the positive commandment since he did not return it. In this case, he took it for himself. So he gets another aveda, bitl mitzvahs esse, va'aver al shnei lavin. Now he has nullified the positive commandment, and instead of just one, he is transgressing two prohibitions. First of all, al lei suchal lehisalim, the regular prohibition we mentioned previously in Dvarim Chav Beis Pasuk Gimel, that you are not allowed to conceal yourself from it, but also va'al lei sigzel, that you are not allowed to steal. And since he took this, it is another case of gzela, which will be relevant as we will see in the later halachas. And afilu hoya bala veda rasha. And even if the one who lost the object is wicked, for eichel nevela l'tayavon okuyetzabay, and he eats nevela, non-kosher meat, as a result of his uncontrolled desire, or a similar sin, mitzvah lahashiv le'ave dosei, it is a commandment to return to him his lost object, even though he is wicked. Avol eichel nevela lahachis, but a person that eats non-kosher meat, lahachis, simply to anger Hashem, meaning that he's not doing it simply because he has a desire to do so and cannot control it. He rather, even if he had the exact same piece of meat that was kosher, he would rather eat the nevela, because he is doing it lahachis to anger Hashem, to rebel. Such a person, harei hu min, he is considered a min, a type of heretic. V'amin mi Yisrael v'apakorsim, v'oiv de'aveda zora, u'machal le'shabes pefarhesya, and any of these categories of Jews, a min, an apokates, different types of heretics, and one that worships idols, and one who violates the Shabbos publicly, osur lahachzir lehen aveda kegoy. You are forbidden from returning their lost object, just as we are forbidden from returning the lost object of a non-Jew, as we'll see in the next halacha. One who does one of these transgressions is as if they are a goy as far as this halacha is concerned. Incidentally, there is a great discussion about what constitutes a Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia. One opinion says that if the person would not do a violated act on Shabbos, if he was in front of the biggest sage of the city, then he is not called Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia. Only if he has such a lack of shame that even in front of such a person he would violate the Shabbos, only then is he called Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia. Halacha Gimel. Avedis ha-goy muteres. The lost object of a goy is permitted. We are allowed to take it and have benefit from it. Shenemar, as it says in Posik, avedis achicha, the lost object of your brother. This is referring to our brother, meaning another Jew. And the opposite is true. Not only you have no obligation to return it, you can keep it for yourself. V'hamachzira harizeh oiver aveda. One who returns the lost object to the goy is transgressing a sin. Because he is strengthening and supporting the hands of wicked people in the world. He is helping them out by returning their lost objects. And therefore he himself is transgressing. However, if he is returning it to make a kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, how will there be a sanctification of Hashem's name by returning a lost object to a goy? In order that he should praise the Jewish people, and to know that they have faith in Hashem, and that this is an expression of their faith, this then is preferable to be mekadesh as Hashem instead of keeping for yourself. As the Gemara, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, tells the story of Rav Shimon ben Shetach, who once bought a donkey from a certain Arab, and he found a lost object there. There was a precious stone. And although his students encouraged him to keep it, he returned it to the Arab, and the Arab said, "Praised be the Lord of Shimon ben Shetach," creating a tremendous kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of Hashem's name. However, if there is a possibility to a desecration of God's name, avedosa asura v'achayev lachzira, you are forbidden from having any benefit from this lost object, and you are required to return it. If there is not a case of Chil Hashem, you are allowed to return it, since you are doing it for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. However, if it will lead to a Chil Hashem, then you are required to return it. For example, you found a lost object in a place where most of the people are Jewish. When the non-Jew realizes that he has lost his object, he's going to suspect that the Jewish people stole it from him. And this will create a Chil Hashem, a desecration of God's name, since he thinks the Jewish people stole the object. In such a case, one is halachically required to give the non-Jew back the object. And in any place, one returns their objects to their house in order to avoid their being stolen, just like one would do in the case of a Jew. In order that there should be peace between the Jews and their non-Jewish neighbors. So if a non-Jew left one of his belongings outside, and it's possible that a thief could come along and take them, then one should rather bring it back into the house to prevent its being stolen, in order that there should be peaceful relations between the Jews and non-Jews. Halacha Dalit. Tos ha-goy ka-avidose. If the goy makes a mistake in a calculation regarding money, this is considered like he lost this money. Umuteres, and you are also allowed to have benefit from it, just as the case of a lost object. However, v'hu shetome atzme. This is when the goy himself made the mistake. Aval ha-teise, asir. But to fool him, to mislead him, and make a wrong calculation is prohibited. Halacha hei ketzad. How exactly does this work? The goy made his calculations, he added up the bill, and he made a mistake. In this case, you didn't fool him, he himself made the calculation, he himself made the mistake. And even then, even so, the Jew is required to tell the non-Jew, you should know, you should see that I am relying on your calculations. And I only know what you tell me. Whatever you tell me, I am giving to you. Kagain zeh mutter. In that case, it's allowed. Because the goy will not suspect that you did something wrong. Abalim le omer lo kain. But if the Jew did not tell him that I am relying totally on you, asir, it is forbidden. Shemi yiskaven agoy lebatke, because perhaps the goy is intending to check out the Jew to see if he's honest. V'nim tushim shamayim mischal, and it will turn out that God's name will be desecrated. If he was really doing it as a test, and the Jew takes the money without saying anything, the goy will say, aha, you failed the test, we see that the Jewish people are dishonest. On the other hand, if you make a clear statement that the choice is up to him, and you are relying on his calculation, then even if later on the goy will realize that he was shortchanged, that not shortchanged, but he himself made a wrong calculation, he will not have any claim against the Jew, because the Jew already told him that he's relying on his calculation. The next few halachas, Vav through Yud, will deal with two separate questions. One question is, when we have a city with a mixture of Jewish and non-Jewish inhabitants, and we find a lost object, who does the lost object belong to? Who did it come from? As we learned previously, if you know it came from a non-Jew, you have no responsibility to return the lost object. Should it come from a Jew, one is responsible. Let's say you find the lost object and do not know who it came from. Who do we assume it belongs to? This is one question. The other question is, even if we know it came from a Jewish person, did this Jewish person give up hope of ever getting it back? If he gave up hope, if he was miyayish, in the case of a lost object, the one who finds it acquires it. Therefore, does the Jew who lost it look at the number of people in the city and assume that if the majority is of the people is the majority is Jewish, then probably he will get it back, since Jewish people are responsible to give back a lost object? Whereas if the majority is non-Jewish, he will assume that the finder will keep it and is forever lost. These principles will guide us through the following halachas. In general, if the majority of the city is Jewish, the finder is responsible to return it. If the majority of the city is not Jewish, he has no such responsibility. Halach above deals if the inhabitants are half and half. Irshi Yisrael v'goyim dorimbo, a city with both Jewish and non-Jewish people living there. U'mechatza goyim u'mechatza Yisrael. Half of them are non-Jewish and half are Jewish. U'motza bo aveda, and he finds a lost object. The law is neitel u'machriz. He can take the object, but then he is responsible to make a declaration, to announce that he has found it, just as would be the case if he knew that it was lost in it was a lost object of a Jew. And should a Jewish person come and identify it with the signs of this lost object, he must give it back to this Jewish person. In other words, if it's half and half, it is the same thing as if the majority of the city was Jewish. Halacha Zayin. Hayareva ir goyim. Let's say the majority of the people in the city are not Jewish. Imatza b'makam min ha'ir. Sharev ha'metzuyim sham Yisrael. If he finds it in this one place in the city, that in this particular section, the majority of the people there are Jewish, Chayiv lahachriz, he is responsible to make an announcement, to announce that he has found a lost object. That even though the majority of the city is Jewish, nevertheless, the majority of the city is not Jewish, the majority of this section is Jewish, and therefore it is as if it has been lost in a place which is mostly Jewish. Avol imotze besratya, but if he found it in a large street, a place which is derech hamelech, the place where the king passes through, uplat yugdela, or he found it in a large marketplace. Or in a shul, or a house of study, a yeshiva, where there are constantly non-Jews found there. In other words, we're speaking here apparently of a place, as Rashi explains, where there was a shul or a yeshiva outside the city, and they hired non-Jewish guards when it was not occupied in order to preserve the safety of these places. So they are constantly goyim there. And any place where there is a large number of people passing through, the lost object belongs to him. And even though, if we take, for example, the shul, or the yeshiva, the majority of the people that are found there are Jewish. But since there are people always present over there, there are always non-Jews there, if a Jew loses an object there, he's not going to assume that he's going to get it back. There are constantly goyim there who are guarding this shul. So therefore, he would lose hope of getting it back. He would think that certainly at night, whenever the guard was there, the guard found it, and he's not going to return it. So therefore, there was Yiyush, he has given up hope, and since the original owner has given up hope, the finder can keep it. And even if the Jew comes, and the Jew gives signs of the lost object, nevertheless, it still belongs to the finder. Because the original owner gave up hope of getting it back as soon as he dropped it. Because he says, probably a non-Jew found it. If it was a place where the majority of people were goyim, such as Asratian, Platya Gedela, then in these cases, certainly he assumed the goy found it. But even in the places, as the Rashba explains the Gemara, even in the places where the non-Jew are a minority, since they are constantly there, the one that lost it assumes they found it. And apo pisha isha lei, and even though it belongs to the finder, haretzel leilech b'derach hatei v'hayosher, somebody that wants to walk in the proper path and the straightforward path, quoting the pasuk in Dvarim, Vav Yud Ches, which our sages tell us referred to going lifnei mishuras adin, beyond the limits of the law. And this person, va'ase lifnei mishuras adin, and he wants to go beyond the mere limits, the mere minimum, machzir es ha'avedel Yisrael kesheyiten es simonah. He should return the lost object to the Jew once the Jew has given its signs. That this is already called going beyond the limits of the law. Since we assume in such a case there was Yiyu, she doesn't have to give it back. But nevertheless, to go beyond the limits of the law, he should give it back to be in Derech HaTeva HaYashar. Halacha Ches. Motza Be'ir Zu Sheruba Goyim. Let's say that in this city, which the majority is non-Jewish, he found a Chavis Shel Yayin, a barrel of wine. So we have two issues to deal with over here. The lost object, and whether he can drink the wine. Yena Asir Bahaniya. The wine you are forbidden to have any benefit from, because we assume that it came from a non-Jew. But Kankana Mutter. However, the container in which the wine is being held, this is allowed, Mishuma Veda, since it is a lost object. And as we mentioned, a lost object where the majority of the city is non-Jewish, we assume that it came from the non-Jew. And even if a Jew came along and said that it belonged to him, nevertheless, he would be probably miyayish, and therefore he has no right to it. But nevertheless, in this case, we do not say that it probably came from a Jew to allow us to drink the wine. The wine is yayin nesach, as non-Jewish wine is forbidden. V'im bo Yisrael v'nosen simonah, let's say a Jew should come along and identify this container of wine, muteres b'shtia l'zeshe matzah. The one that finds it is allowed to drink the wine, since now he knows it belongs to a Jew. And even though he now is relying that it originally belonged to the Jew, to be able to drink the wine, that doesn't mean he has to return it to the one that lost it. Since he was Miyayish, he lost hope of getting it back, since the majority of the city was Jewish, and now belongs to the finder. He can keep the whole thing. And in addition, he can even drink the wine. As the Magid Mishnah points out, that it certainly must still be sealed to ensure that a goy has not touched it or drank from it or something of the sort and made it yayin nesach. But nevertheless, we do rely, should it be sealed, we rely that it belongs to the Jew to allow him to drink it. Halacha Tes. There's a story which happened in the Gemara. A bird grabbed a piece of meat and it flew away with the meat and then dropped it in somebody else's courtyard. Now, can we eat this meat, and who does it belong to? Afo pisha reiv ha'ir Yisroel. Even though the majority of the city is Jewish, and we say that if the majority of the city is Jewish, we assume it came from the Jew, number one. And second of all, we assume that that Jew has not yet lost hope of getting it back, since the majority is Jewish. He is hoping that a Jew found it, and will give it back to him. What happened here? The majority of the city is Jewish, and he assumes that a Jew found it. But in this case, even though the majority of the city is Jewish, he is allowed to use it, and he doesn't have to give it back mishum aveda, because it's a lost object. Because the original owners gave up hope. Once the bird has taken it, he doesn't know if the bird's going to drop it or the bird's going to eat it. He has no hope of getting it back anymore, since there was Yiyush, the one that finds it gains possession over it. However, as far as eating it, Nevertheless, the one that found it doesn't know whether maybe it's treif, maybe it's not treif, and therefore he's not allowed to use it, but he does not have to return it or announce that he has found a piece of meat in his courtyard. Since the original owner gave up hope. Halacha Yud. Hameitza aveda bezuta shel yam ubeshlulisei shel nahar. Someone found a lost object on the side of the sea or on the banks of the river. These are both places that normally are a dry land, but when the sea gets high or when the river overflows, then these areas are covered by water. So what happened? Evidently, this object was flowing in the sea or the water, and it was on the side, and then the river returned to its original level, and the lost object was left there on the dry land. So if somebody finds a lost object there, either on the side of the sea, or on the side of a river, Shaina Pesek, a river which does not stop flowing, a constantly flowing river. In this case, Afal Pisha Yeshba Simin, even though there is a clear sign by which the original owner could be able to identify this object, Harezu Shomaitza, this belongs to the one that finds it. How do we know? Shanamar, it says in Posik in Dvarim Chav Beis Posik Gimel, Asher Tevar Mimenu Umetzosa, that it was lost from him and someone found it. That the word Mimenu seems to be extra here. Asher Tevar Umetzosa, it was lost and now it was found. What does it mean it was lost from him? So this comes to teach us that only when do we have the responsibility of returning a lost object? When it was lost from this person, but somebody else found it right away. But in this case, it was lost from everybody. It was in the river. Nobody would be able to find it here. So, Misha avudu mimenu umetsuya hi etzel kol adam. The Pasuk is speaking about Asher Tevar mimenu, it was lost from him, meaning that it was lost from him, but it is found by every other person. In other words, a regular case of a lost object. He lost it. Whoever comes across it will find it. Yotza zu shavudu mimenu umikol adam. This Pasuk comes to exclude an object which was lost from him and from everybody else. Shazavading this Yosh Mimeno. Certainly a person gave up hope of getting this back. It's in the river. Nobody could be able to find it there unless it happens to wash up on the side of the riverbank. Since this is the case, the Pasuk says, Tevad Mimenu, it was lost from him. Therefore, the original owner definitely gave up hope and it belongs to the one that finds it. Halacha Yud Aleph. Someone that intentionally destroys their own possessions, their own money, you are not responsible to take care of his possessions and return it to him, to return them to him. For example, he leaves his cow in a stable that has no door on it, and he didn't even tie it up, and then he walks away, which is clearly irresponsible. Obviously the cow's going to leave. Or he deliberately throws down his wallet, his money bag, in a public domain, and then he leaves, or any similar case where he intentionally irresponsibly destroyed his own money. In the first case, you can't say intentionally let the cow go, but leaving it in an open stable without a door is the same thing as intentionally getting rid of it. And certainly the second case where he deliberately throws it down, he intentionally destroyed his money. And even though someone that sees this happening is not allowed to take it for himself because he knows who the owner is. Nevertheless, he is not required to return it. Normally, if you see a lost object, you not only cannot steal it for yourself, that is for sure, but you have a positive requirement to return it to the owner. In this case, you have no requirement to return it to him, since he intentionally destroyed it, so to speak. However, to take it for yourself, that also you're not allowed. How do we know that you're not required to return it? Shanemar, it says in Pasuk Asher Tevat, something which was lost. Prat lema abed ladaita, somebody that deliberately lost it, meaning that he intentionally took it out of his possession by throwing it away, or as the other cases we mentioned in this halacha. Halacha Yud Beis, another case where you have no responsibility to return it. Aveda she'ein basheva pruta, a lost object which is not even worth a pruta, the smallest amount of negotiable currency. Ein rechayev litopel ba, v'loy lahachzira, you are not required to take care of it, meaning to return it to the owner, and you don't have to return it, meaning that if you did pick it up, you are allowed to keep it, you have no responsibility to return it. Halacha Yud Gimel. Motza sak a kupa. A person found a sack, or a kupa is a large basket. And these things, which are not normally carried around by people in a high status, a Talmud Chacham, or an elderly person in a high position, or something of the sort, normally people don't carry such things. So, im haya chacham leizachin makubad, if he is a sage, or an honorable elderly person, sha'ein darka lito kelim elu biyadei, and normally he does not carry such objects in his hand. He would have a servant carry, or someone else would carry them, but he himself wouldn't carry such a thing. He is not responsible in such a case. The Torah does not require him to take care of such an object to return to the owner. But how do we calculate whether it is according to his covet or not? We estimate his own opinion here, his own thought process. Ilu hayu shalei, if this object was his, im hayu machzirun la'atzmei, and he would return it for himself, kach chayev la'achzir shel chavedei, so too he must return it if it belongs to someone else. V'im lei hayu meichel al chavedei, afilu hayu shalei, and if he would not ignore his own covet, even if it was his, so too, if it's his friend's, he's not required to return it. In other words, he must treat it exactly as if it was his own. If his covet is to such an extent, and the lost object is to such an extent that if it belonged to him, he would anyway not carry it, so too his friends, he has no responsibility to return it. Now, a case which is in the middle. This is such an object that if he found it in the field, he would carry it. After all, in the field, there are not so many people looking. And it's not such a dishonorable thing that he wouldn't carry it whatsoever. So if it was in the field, he would carry it if it was his. However, if it was in the city, he wouldn't carry it. He's in front of such an amount of people. So if he finds it in the city, he is not responsible to return it. Because in the city, he wouldn't carry it even if it was his own. So too in this case, he does not have to carry it back. Let's say he finds it in the field. The Gemara asks this question, the Gemara doesn't answer. We could look at it two ways. On the one hand, we could say that since he anyway cannot bring it back to the owner, since if he found it in the city, he is not responsible to bring it back. So in this case, over here, he finds it in the field, perhaps he doesn't have to bring it back at all. He anyway can't return it all the way to his house. Or perhaps he just should carry it in the field and then leave it on the border of the city. That's one way of looking at it. Or there's the other possibility, which the Rambam paskins like the second possibility, because in any case, when the Gemara does not decide, we must be machmer, we must be strict. Therefore, the Rambam decides, if he finds it in the city, chayev lachzirun, he must pick it up, and not only in the field, until he returns it to the possession of the original owners. And even though he must enter with them into the city, and this is not the normal, he would not normally do such a thing. In this, if it was only in the city, as we said earlier in this halacha, he's not responsible to carry it. If he finds it outside the city, he must bring it back fully into the city. As the Gemara says that since he started with the mitzvah, he must continue with the mitzvah, he must conclude the mitzvah and bring it all the way to the person's house. And the reasoning of the Rambam is, as we mentioned, that since the Gemara does not decide this case, it leaves as a teiku, the Rambam is gmachmir, he is strict. Since it's a Torah commandment to return a lost object, therefore we go strict in a doubtful case of a Torah law, and one must return it all the way to the owner. Incidentally, the opinion of the Rosh opposes that of the Rambam. The Rosh's reasoning is, you can't be machmer over here by having him carry it back. Because if the person is a Torah scholar, how can you be strict in the law of returning a lost object and then be lenient in the law of honoring a Torah scholar? A Torah scholar is not allowed to give up on his own honor because his honor is also part of the honor of the Torah. If you would see a Talmud Chacham carrying garbage in the middle of the street, this is a decrease in his honor. Therefore, he is not allowed to do so. And the opposite is true. As the Alter Rebbe explains the opinion of the Rosh, that the Rosh holds that this is a Torah prohibition. Therefore, how can he be strict in such a case? If you're strict in the case of a Talmud Chacham, you're going to be lenient in the case of a Veda. If you're strict in the case of Veda, you're lenient in the case of Talmud Chacham. What then is the advice? Do you follow the advice of the Rosh, where the Rosh says, and the Alter Rebbe paskens that a Baal Nefesh should be machmer to do what? To follow the example of Rabbi Yishmael ben Rav Yesi in the Gemara. When confronted with a similar case, he took the money out of his own pocket and he paid it to the owner. This way the owner is compensated for his lost object. He's being strict in the law of returning the lost object. And he's not carrying the object. He's being strict in the law of the Talmud Chacham, covered Talmud Chacham as well. Incidentally, the Rambam's expression, Zokin Mechubad, and why doesn't he just say Mechubad, a person, an honorable person, a person that is given honor? The Rambam writes it in such a way, the Alter Rebbe explains in Kunshas Acharon, is to tell you that this applies to a person who deserves this covet, who is in a high position of standing, or comes from a famous family, or has wealth, or something else, which causes that there is some reason for him to have covet. But if he just desires this covet because he himself wants to have this covet, then it doesn't count. Therefore, the Ram doesn't just say Mechubad. Zokin Mechubad. He deserves it because of his age or something else of the sort. And just as in this case, the reason he is required to return it all the way to the city is since he has begun to return it in the field, so too we will have in the next halacha. Halacha Yudalit. V'chein, and so too, imotze behema v'ikisha, that you found an animal and you hid it in order to direct it to go home. Nischayev li topal ba'ul hachzira, afal pishein alifich v'idei. You are required to take care of it and return it to the owner, even though it would not normally be in consonance with your level of kovach. Ahare hizchil b'mitzvah, because you already started off with the mitzvah. Once you began with the mitzvah, you cannot stomp in the middle. If he had never touched the animal, he would say it's shalei lefich v'idei. It is below his dignity, and therefore he is not required to take care of it. But once he has begun, he has given the animal a hit. He has given a strike in order to direct it home. Once he has begun, he must conclude the mitzvah. Just as in the case when he began in the field, he had the mitzvah of returning it. He must conclude and finish it off in the city. Hechziru ubarcha. Let's say he returned it and then the animal ran away again. Afilu mea pa'amim chayev lahachzir. Even if this happened 100 times, he is required once again to return the animal. Shenemer hashev teshivim. You must certainly return it. Hashev afilu mea pa'amim mashmoy. The word hashev is written grammatically in such a way that one must continually return. Meaning even 100 times one is required halachically to return it regardless of how many times it happens. Li'eilam hu chayev li topel ba, and how far does he have to return it? To what extent? He is always required to take care of it. Li topel ba, ad she'achzirenu l'rishus bailah l'mokam ha'mishtamer. Until he returns it to the original owner in a place which is protected, a place which is guarded. Aval im yechziru l'mokam she'ein mishtamer. But if he brings it back to a place which is not protected, which is not safe, kogayim gina, a churva, for example, to a garden which doesn't have any walls or fences in order to keep the animal in, or a churva, an uninhabited house, an abandoned house, where any of these places are not safe, but of the Misham, and after he returned it, it became lost again. Chayv v'achriyusa, the one that returned it, is responsible to replace the cost of the object to the original owner. The whole idea of returning the object is a halachic requirement, and the one that finds the object is halachically responsible for it, and he must return it to the original owner in a place where the owner can take, where the owner can care of it and doesn't have to worry about it. Should he not do so, he is responsible to replace the value of the object. In the following two halachas, we will see that although when we have a gazlin or a ganef, or a shemer, someone that was guarding an object, when they return this object to the original owner, they must notify the owner. In the case of a lost object, we are more lenient, and they are allowed to return it as long as the place is safe, and the owner will normally find it there. Halacha Tesvav. In the morning, he returned the lost object to a place where the owners or the owner of the lost object normally goes in and goes out of this particular place in the morning. For example, he leaves it by his breakfast table or something of the sort, and he does not notify the owner. He no longer must take care of it or worry about it. He has satisfied his obligation of returning the lost object. Because the owners will see it over there. They normally go by there in the morning. Even though it's a place which is not guarded, since he leaves it there in the morning, and the owners usually go by there in the morning, this is good enough. However, when does this apply? That this is sufficient, something which is not a live creature, which could run away. But when it involves a living creature, you must take care of the object to return it to him until you bring it to his possession in a place which is safe, a place which is secure, and the animal cannot run away. You still do not have to notify the owner, but nevertheless it must be totally safe and secure, which is not the case if it is not a living animal, as long as it's a place where normally the owner will see it. Even if it's not totally secure and somebody else could come and take it, nevertheless one has satisfied the obligation. Halacha Tazayin, Ra behemish barcha min hadir. If you see an animal run away from its pen and you return it to the proper place, he has satisfied the commandment of returning the lost object, in this case the animal. He does not need to notify the owners. That's where it was before, and that's where he has returned it. He does not need to notify the owner that it ran away and that he brought it back. Halacha Yud Zayin. Somebody who walks in the good and the straight path, as we mentioned earlier, that this is the pasuk which the Chumash uses to refer to going beyond the limits of the law. Such a person who's going beyond the limits of the law should return the lost object no matter what, even if it is not according to his honor. And although the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch that everyone should, in all cases where Lifni Mishuras HaDin is mentioned, where it is possible to go beyond the limits of the law, as we mentioned earlier in this paddock, nevertheless, in this case, there is a machlekes, since the Rosh says that one is not, this is not called Lifni Mishuras HaDin according to the Rosh. If it's not Lafi Chavaydi, this is called doing a prohibition on the other hand. Therefore, to be a Baal Nefesh, one should pay back the value of the object. Halacha Yudches. Kain sheroa haveda bebeis hakvaris. Another problem. A kain sees a lost object in a cemetery. Over here he has a positive requirement of returning the object. And he has a prohibition not to make himself impure by entering the cemetery. Is he required to go into the cemetery to return the object? In general, we have a principle that if we have one positive commandment which is opposing a prohibition, the positive commandment takes precedence over the prohibition. Do we say so in this case also? The answer is no. He cannot make himself impure by entering the cemetery in order to return it. Because at the same time that he is fulfilling the positive commandment of returning the lost object, first of all, he is transgressing the positive commandment, that you shall be holy, referring in this case to the Kainim. And he's transgressing expressing the prohibition that a person, that a man, meaning a kain, should not become impure. So in other words, we have here not only a positive commandment, we have a, not only a negative, but also a positive. The positive commandment of Kadeshim Yeyu from Vayikra Chavalef Pasuk Vav. And the prohibition, Lo Yitamet Baal Ba'ama, from Pasuk Dalet in the same Perek. And therefore, Ve'ein Ese, Deicha Es Leis Ese Ve'ese. A prohibition, a positive commandment, in this case that of returning a lost object, does not outweigh both a negative and a positive. If it was just a positive against a negative, we would say the positive outweighs the negative. But here is a positive against a positive and a negative, and that does not outweigh it. Incidentally, the Magid Mishnah points out that we don't even need this reason of the Rambam, at least according to Magid Mishnah. Why? Because at the moment that a person enters, the kohen enters the cemetery, at that moment he is not fulfilling a positive commandment. The commandment will only be fulfilled when he reaches the lost object, picks it up, and then returns it to the owner. So therefore, and the only time we say that a positive outweighs a negative is at the moment you're fulfilling the positive, you're violating the negative, such as wearing tzitzis, which are shatnez, or making a bris milah if there's a sign of tzeras on the place of the milah that one is not allowed. There's a prohibition against cutting the place of the tzeras. If you've cut off the place of the milah, at the moment you fulfill the commandment of milah, you're violating the prohibition of cutting off tzeras. So in this case we say ase deichaleis ase. And so too, at the moment you fulfill the commandment of tzitzis, you are transgressing the prohibition of kilayim, of shatnez. But over here, at the moment, you enter the cemetery. The kohen enters the cemetery. He's not fulfilling a positive commandment. He hasn't even reached the object. The Magid Mishnah concludes that there's no difference anyway. You're anyway not allowed to do it. No matter what the reason is, you're not allowed, so there's no difference. There incidentally are other commentaries to Mefarshim that say, what would be the case that the Magid, they don't agree with the Magid Mishnah. What is the difference between these two explanations? Let's say the lost object was right at the entrance of the cemetery. In other words, at the moment that he enters the cemetery, he's picking up the object. In such a case, according to the Magid Mishnah's reasoning, then we would say that at the moment he picks up the object, he's already begun to fulfill the mitzvah, and he would be allowed to do it. Whereas according to the Rambam's reason, not. Halacha Yutes. Roa es haveda. He sees a lost object, for omerle aviv, and his father tells him, al tachzirena, do not return it. And why would he say such a thing? The Magid Mishnah explains that he wants him to bring him something to eat now. In other words, he now has a positive commandment of honoring his father, and he has the positive commandment of returning a lost object. Who should he listen to? Yachzir v'lo yakabel mimenu. You must return the lost object and not listen to your father. Why? She'im kibel me'aviv. If you accept your father's request and do not return the object, nimsa ba'es shekiyim mitzvahs eseh shelkabed es avicha. At the moment that you fulfill the positive commandment of honoring your father, bitzel eseh shel hashiv tashivim, you are transgressing two commandments: the positive commandment of returning the object, va'avar aleisuchel hisalim, and transgressing the prohibition that you are not allowed to hide your eye from the lost object. And as we mentioned in the previous halacha, that a positive commandment does not push away a positive and a negative. Incidentally, it might seem to be a bit of a contradiction here between halacha yutches and yutches. We said in yutches that when it comes to the kohen entering the cemetery, he has a positive and negative. Whereas returning the lost object, there's only the positive commandment of returning it. Where over here now, halacha yutches, we say that returning an object involves a positive and a negative. Losuch li salim. How could the Rambam say in yutches that returning a lost object is only a positive, and halacha yutches says there's a positive and a negative? Perhaps we can answer according to the statement of our sages that sometimes one is allowed, and learning from the Pasuk that sometimes one is allowed to pretend one doesn't see it, and brings the example of a kohen in the cemetery. Meaning that to begin with, this prohibition does not apply when a kohen is involved. Therefore, in halacha yutches, we only mention the positive requirement to return. The last halacha chaf, harei maim sheitfin, we see if one that sees water which is rushing, uboin lahashchiz binyan chavero isadehu, and it is going to destroy the building of one's neighbor or his field. chayev ligdur bifneim ulamonam, one is required to dam up and reinforce the area to prevent the water from reaching the building or field. Shenamer lachol avedis achicha. It says in Dvarim Chavbeis Pasuk Gimel that for any lost object of your friend, larabeis avedis karkoi. This comes to include losing his land. The psukim in general about lost objects speak about movable objects, but l'chol avedis achicha comes to include even something which is immovable, such as a building or a field. Technically speaking, this is only if it doesn't cost him any money, or if he is sure that the owner is going to pay his money back. Let's say one is not certain. So strictly halachically speaking, Alter Rebbe brings from Shulchan Aruch that one is not required to involve oneself, to lose one's money and risk that not being paid back. However, he quotes Rashi and the Gemara, who say that this, that if a person is specific, is very, very careful to make the calculations whether he's going to get his money back, in the end he will have to come onto other people for money. Therefore, he should not be so picky about something of this sort.